we just let Killer Queen play for a while? That's a good one. Theme Music Friday's got a Queen feel to it. Shoot out your selections to our producer, TJ, who's the DJ today. All right, fun day of college football tomorrow. So you got the bye week going on for Nebraska fans. You don't got to worry about it. You got so much good college football. And one of those Big Ten heavyweight matchups at 3 o'clock out at Madtown, Camp Randall, Wisconsin hosting Iowa. It's the Hawkeyes coming in. Rob Howe joining me from HawkeyeNation.com. And, you know, there's something about these matchups. We were talking about this earlier, Rob, where you've got Penn State and Minnesota, and then you got Wisconsin taking on Iowa. All four teams got a bye going into these matchups. It's like we knew that these things would have some meaning. I don't know. I'm not sure if the Big Ten was just very, very good about forecasting this or it just worked out that way. But needless to say, two physical teams tomorrow in the game you'll be watching. They're rested, and that's probably a good thing.
Yes, and it was interesting this week, Nick. We were talking to Kirk Ferentz, I believe, on Tuesday, and they really took it light last week. Everybody got off their feet. They took, you know, they really rested the starters and the guys in the two deep. And then they got back at it this week and went full pads and hard contact and tried to get ready for this weekend. So it was interesting because Kirk said, had that been towards the end of the season, they probably wouldn't have approached it that way. But the way it fell this year, having that week of rest and then being able to go full bore this week, it's kind of an interesting setup.
The big question around the Big Ten and this matchup and college football fans, Iowa fans, Wisconsin fans watching this, I'm sure, is what will Iowa do against this Wisconsin defense? Because, Rob, it just seems like that's where the Hawkeyes have had some of their issues.
Yeah, I agree, Nick. And that's kind of the, you know, you look at Iowa's team right now, and I think you could make a serious case that it's one of the best defenses in the league, and if not in the country, and it still has two losses. And that comes down to just not getting things figured out on the offensive side of the football. And Wisconsin's defense, Wisconsin's 3-4 with active linebackers, has really puzzled Iowa since Wisconsin switched to that in 2013. Iowa just hasn't been able to figure it out. And like we said, they've had 2 weeks now to kind of sit down and study this thing. And I'm really intrigued to see if they'll be able to put something together. But I think it would be silly to think that Iowa's going to go up there and score, you know, 28, 31 points. They've got to get this thing probably in the 21 to 24 range, I think, though, to be able to come away with a win.
Well, and I think a lot of people assume that Wisconsin, they're going to be a ticked off group, and they've got something to say about being in the Big Ten West and getting over not only Iowa, but also Minnesota. But do you take anything away from what Ohio State or even Illinois were able to do offensively against this Wisconsin team?
Yeah, Nick, in talking to the Iowa defenders this week, they weren't bashful at all about giving away the game plan, and maybe they're blowing smoke at us and it's a smoke screen, but they said they watched the Ohio State and Illinois games, and Illinois and Ohio State just sold out to the run. They were not going to let Jonathan Taylor beat them, and they put extra guys in the box, run blitz, did things to take him away, to force Jack Cohen and the Wisconsin passing game to beat them, and they weren't able to do that. Wisconsin was not able to do that. So I think it would be probably smart for Iowa to do something similar. I don't know if you can just sell out completely on the run, because there are dangerous receivers in, you know, Cephas and Davis, Kendrick Pryor, A.J. Taylor, and then the tight end Ferguson is really good too. So I don't think you can completely sell out on the run, but I think that's where your attention has to be. You can't let Jonathan Taylor beat you.
I was so surprised. The amount of the game that I actually saw between Wisconsin and Illinois, Rob, was the big plays that Illinois was able to consistently get. And they were doing that with, I mean, what is still kind of a banged up side of the football for Illinois in that offense. I know that the offensive systems are different between Illinois and Iowa, but I felt like they showed you can still have some big plays against this defense. And is that where you do kind of put some stock into the experience of Nate Stanley in a game like this?
Yeah, it's kind of it's an interesting situation, Nick, because Nate just hasn't played well on the road in the Big Ten in the big games. It's just he hasn't. And a lot of the focus this week has been on him and how he'll perform in this game. And I do. I think he has to make some plays. The question is, in Iowa's two losses to Michigan and Penn State, they gave up 10 sacks. And they've had some problems protecting him this year. Mm-hmm. And will Iowa's offensive line give Nate Stanley and the offense time to take some of those shots down the field? That's another question. We're going to have to wait to see how it's answered on Saturday in Madison.
Talking with Rob Howe, HawkeyeNation.com. It's Iowa, Wisconsin tomorrow at 3 o'clock. A huge Big Ten West clash there. You know, if you do look at some of the intangibles, and I swear this game always seems like it's going to be a 10-7, 13-7 type affair. It's never the fun thing or sexy thing to talk about, but let's get into the special teams of this one, too. I mean, is that an area that you think could have a big effect tomorrow?
Certainly. I certainly think the return game and, you know, the Wisconsin has not, they've had some struggles with the kicking game. I think their kicker's name escapes me. I apologize for that. But I think he's missed four field goals this year. Keith Duncan for Iowa's missed one. He's one of the better field goal kickers in the country statistically. He's a Lou Groza Award semifinalist. I think Iowa may have an edge there. Iowa's punter's been more consistent, and Iowa has a little bit more explosiveness in the return game. So that could be an area where Iowa maybe gets a little bit of an edge. We saw last year, Nick, in Iowa City, that was a tight game that came down to the end. Iowa turned the ball over three times in that game. Wisconsin did not turn it over, and two of those turnovers for Iowa came on special teams. They had a player run into a punt, back into a punt that Wisconsin recovered, and then they had a fumble on a punt return. So those are the type of things that Iowa can't do if it hopes to pull off the upset tomorrow.
Well, and I want to go back to Nate Stanley, too, and just the overall inconsistency in the running game. I always feel like he's that type of quarterback. He's got the big arm, and he can be very accurate, but the ability in play action and even possibly some bootleg-type action for him, has that kind of been a big issue with not being able to establish that, where it's maybe limited him a little bit? And does that have an opportunity with the extra time to prepare that maybe they are able to kind of get that part of this going?
Yeah, I would say that's a great point, Nick. They have not been able to run the football consistently this year. Actually, they haven't been able to run it consistently the last 2 years since Akram Wadley left. And that's been a part of the issue. It's allowed teams to kind of pin their ears back and go after him. It puts Iowa oftentimes in second and third and long. And we all know that that makes it that much more difficult with the defenses that you face in this conference. And Iowa needs to establish some type of running game tomorrow. And hopefully for them, they've been able to figure out or maybe see some things on film the last 2 weeks that opens things up. I think they would benefit from maybe having the true freshman in there, Tyler Goodson. Mm-hmm. He's the most explosive back that they have. He's a really good receiver out of the backfield. It's just Kirk is an old school guy, and I think he's going to, they've said it and they've done it, so I have no reason to not believe them. They've used the three running back rotation, and for the last 2 years, Nick, I think we have a big enough sample size now to wonder if that's a problem with getting one guy into a rhythm when you're rotating three guys for 2 years.
Well, and I know Brian Ferentz has maybe been criticized a little bit, but my question for you watch this team more than I do, is it the fact that maybe they don't have the overall quality of play at the offensive line where they're unable to establish it as consistently, or is it just more of an execution standpoint where holes are there, guys aren't hitting them? What's kind of been the problem to this point?
That is the age-old question right now in Iowa City. That's one that's got everybody scratching their head. You'll have people that will say it's the zone blocking scheme, that Iowa had some injuries on the offensive line this year. It's about continuity and chemistry when you run that zone blocking, and it hasn't been there. Teams have figured out the zone blocking, Wisconsin in particular. Whereas Wisconsin on the offensive line, it's hat on hat. Iowa needs more of that, almost like a dance routine with guys moving in the same direction and doing the same thing. If you watch the Michigan game, Iowa had two guys blocked at times, or one guy blocked with two offensive linemen at times, and people running free. They've really had trouble. I think it's not going out on a limb at offensive guard this year. That's where the struggles have been. And then you also have a redshirt freshman at center. Inexperience and inconsistency in those interior offensive line spots have really been one of the you know, the biggest, the glaring weaknesses of this team this year.
And lastly, injury-wise, how is Iowa going into this one after the week off?
Well, they get Kyler Schott back, who showed some nice play at right guard earlier in the season, but he's been out since the Iowa State game. I'm not sure how much of a rhythm he's going to be in coming back after missing five games, but he is probably an upgrade on that right guard spot. They will be most likely without tight end Nate Weeding, who's hasn't done a lot in the passing game, but is an excellent blocker and is a guy who's a fifth-year senior that really knows what the offense is doing. So that's kind of a loss. And then Christian Wells, the starting middle linebacker, who's from Wisconsin, he's been dealing with a stinger, and it doesn't look like he's going to be able to go. So they're probably going to go with either a redshirt freshman or a true freshman at middle linebacker. That's also a thing to keep an eye on tomorrow if Wisconsin picks on that, and it wouldn't surprise me if it did.
Well, Rob, I'm trying to locate here the over-under, but I always feel like no matter what it's set at tomorrow, with these two teams, you always take the under. Is that the safe bet?
Yeah, we've got the legalized sports gambling in Iowa, and that's what I've been on this week, Nick. Don't take a side. Take the under in this one. I think it's 37 or 38. I feel pretty comfortable taking that number under, which means it'll probably go over.
Rob Howe, HawkeyeNation.com. Rob, enjoy the game tomorrow.
Thanks, Nick.